Hello everybody and welcome to September's edition of the Northern Premier League show, pre-recorded live on Wednesday evening down at the Heat and Hops in South Manchester, stroke North Stockport. I'm going to trip myself up there.
Why don't you say the simple thing? It's in Stockport.
Oh, but Swampy's joining us from Belgium. Hello, Swampy.
It's an SK postcode.
Round the table, we've got the great and good and Swampy of non-league journalism. We've got Swampy's here.
Hello, bonjour.
From FC Radio. James Hayes is there, social media officer for the league.
Good evening, Ben.
Wearing red tonight. Striking.
It is striking.
Non-league journalist Andrew Simpson is there.
Hello.
Otherwise known as Simo.
Yes.
I'm going to get to why I'm saying this.
Wearing burgundy.
Burgundy, yes. And Berkey's here as well, dressed like he's from Portland, Oregon. Hello, Berkey.
Hey, man.
I'm making his debut. It's Birthday Boy from Atherton Calls. It's Gibbo, everyone.
Yay. Thank you very much.
Sporting, I have to say, an absolutely fantastic pair of pants. They are absolute quality.
I'm glad you like them.
On this week's show, we're also going to be joined by Paul Carden, manager at Warrington, and Jodie Bannum is going to be joining us too from Ashton United to talk about the FA Cup. Speaking of the FA Cup, look out for the Step 4 show as well, where we'll be discussing all the potential upsets that are on the way this weekend in the third qualifying round. But before we get to that, we should just... I nearly said touch base, Simo. That's bad, isn't it?
Very bad. I almost would have walked out if you said that.
Yeah, okay, well, it's a good job I stopped myself. We need to touch base and talk about the league. South Shields currently top.
You just fist-bumped yourself.
I did, yeah. No, I caught me on fist.
Do you have that little friend so you can't even fist-bump anyone else apart from yourself?
Not quite 10 points, Berkey. It's 6.
It is.
And they beat FC United on Tuesday night.
Yeah, well...
And they were lucky.
Would it?
I think they were in control. All the way through.
That's been their whole raison d'etre this season. They've been in control of games for the most part. I had a tweet a few weeks ago from a Whitby fan saying, mind the gap. A big picture saying, mind the gap on it. And his tweet just said, 10 points, ? And now they're 6 points clear of Whitby. So, I mean, it's not for me to judge. But this 10 points, I think it might be 20 points by the end of the season. Because they are absolutely storming on. They're not steamrolling teams as they did last season necessarily. But they're just beating them. They're that little bit better than everybody else by the looks of it, on the early evidence anyway. They've won 6 on the spin.
We've played some half decent teams recently, I think that's a bit unfair to say.
I'm surprised you're not mentioning the only team that's beaten them.
Well, listen, that's for other people to say. I mean, I'm
a idiot there.
Oh yeah, look at that, they've got one loss. Who was that?
It was against Hyde United.
Against FC last night. The one thing they seem to have is they seem to have, for some reason, I don't know if it's just last night, when FC played them, but they do seem to actually have one of their players that actually seems to be the referee. And I think that always helps in a game of football.
Satire
because
it's professionalism, though. You get that, don't you?
It is very much so professionalism, and that's what happens when you're a full-time team or hybrid team. Yes. I mean, but there was a little bit of quality, and that quality came in an ex-FC player in Gilchrist. Yeah. And when you can rely on a player like that to have three shots to come off the bench. Have three touches and score one, you know.
And that's the difference.
And the likes of South Shields are going to be able to do that this season. It's going to be very, very difficult to compete against that. And that's where football
needs to change. It's an ominous sign, though, isn't it? Pretty much all the teams that we predicted would run them close are nowhere near them already. And we're only just going into October.
Well, Gibbo, you must be very excited for your trip up there on Saturday.
I can't wait. I've booked my train tickets this week and... You know,
you're getting the train.
Yeah,
Gibbo, can I give you an advice? Book about 4 weeks in advance, half the price.
Still the same.
Still the same.
As an Atherton Colts fan, yes. You obviously you know you're aware of Step 5, you're aware of Step 4, and all that.
Yeah. Whatever.
This is like the borderline now of National League North, and you know we do get teams like this. Is it daunted? Is that the right phrase?
I think I can safely say we're not going up to South Shields this weekend expecting anything. We're just going to enjoy the day out. But ever since we're in the North West Counties Division 1, we've always enjoyed every day out. And that's the attitude. If we come away from South Shields and get something, fantastic. If not, we're still going to enjoy the day out anyway. And it's the same for the players, not just the fans. So.
And I think in fairness as well, I think in fairness, the likes of Atherton, because they've never been at this level before, can go up there and actually can be one of the teams that might shock South Shields. Because basically they can go up there, great surface to play football on, and South Shields are on a hand to nothing in that kind of game. They've played FC, they've played Hyde, they've played lots of other clubs in this division over the last two or three seasons. So therefore they know them. The likes of Atherton can go up there, play great football under a good manager, and therefore there's a big opportunity for them without any pressure, and that's even better.
I was going to say, Berkey, before you get into this, Gibbo here is going to an away game. Do you got any questions to ask him?
Actually, young man,
I'm going to that as well.
I'm going to Scarborough in the middle of October.
Of course, you were there.
Well, just to expand a bit on what Swampy said there. Coles, they've got that great team spirit and they're so competitive. They're going to go up there, and it's not like you get a lot of teams in this division where they're a bit frightened of going to South Shields. With Coles, they're just seeing this as an absolute free hit, and they can go out there and express themselves and have a good game of football, because that's what they do at every ground they play.
Obviously, it's been a good start to the season for the two North East clubs, well, a second North East club, or North Yorkshire club, if you will, in Whitby Town. What do you think of their start, Simo?
Fantastic. I did see them a couple of weeks ago in the FA Cup when they come down to Norwich and they won that day. And they're massively improved on last season. I was quite impressed. I know they had a setback last weekend when they got turned over by Matlock, but it doesn't take away from the fact that they've had a fantastic start to the season. They're going to be really difficult to beat. It's built on solid defence, built on an outstanding goalkeeper, and they are waiting for some of their attacking players to come back as well, so they may be able to go and be a bit more expansive again. It's clear that Hobson's still their go-to, he's still their outstanding player. If he plays well, they play well. But Chris Hardy would be absolutely delighted.
It was nice talking to him last week. He was
in good form, wasn't he?
After playing Ashton, you could see why they're up there at the moment. They're playing a great controlling game, pushing forward where they can.
Whitby have been absolutely outstanding, and I'm really pleased for them, because they're in that unenvious position of where they are situated geographically in the country. Yeah. They've got clubs a bit further up the coastline with a lot more money than them. And they're really proving a point.
Whitby were beaten by Matlock.
They were beaten by Matlock, and I saw Matlock play Coles a couple of weeks ago, and defensively, fantastic. The goalkeeper, though, I don't know if anybody else has seen Matlock this season. He looks like a boxer. he's not the goalkeeper during the warm-up. And he comes out, he's got the tightest top on ever. He's got his gloves, I think. He's turned up for the wrong sport here. But he was brilliant as well, and it doesn't surprise me that Matlock are able to pull off results like that and currently sit third.
They really needed that win, because they'd lost their way a little bit. And obviously they had that defeat in the FA Cup against Kidsgrove, so actually they'll be quite glad to see the back of September. Mm. Made up to still be third after having a pretty indifferent month. But no, big result for them, and they'll want to build back on that now.
And obviously Matlock didn't follow it up on Tuesday night. They were beaten by Nantwich, who found themselves in fourth.
I know, but can we just give... I just want to give the respect where it's due to Josh Lacey's amazing flick the other day.
That was beautiful, wasn't it? On the touchline.
Not bad for a right back, that, is it?
It was like watching that Brazilian commercial where they're in the airport back in the 1998 one. It was sensational.
Once.
I mean, how do you do that? Because I've never seen a flick like that before.
It was just like a donkey kick, wasn't it? October, going to be a very tough month for him. Three really hard games on. They've got Scarborough, they've got Micklover, they've got Warrington. Bailey Good has been a decent signing from Hyde.
Yeah. Nantwich. He's been like Matlock, really. It was a mixed month, wasn't it?
They bounced back. They had those three successive defeats, and then have won the next three, and won them convincingly. And also had an unbelievably good result in the FA Cup at Telford, which sets them up for when they play Morpeth this weekend. Curiously, and I was going to ask Teagot about this. I was thinking about it on the way here. They were one of the FA Cup teams that didn't cancel their league game and got free.
They chose not to.
And they got 3 points on the board last night, so it'll be interesting to see you know, how that takes them into the weekend. Because everybody
else, the Morpeth manager, didn't want it to happen.
Exactly. So it's going to be really. I mean, this has been.
We've had clubs got the decision without any integral games to if they wanted to play it. So Gainsborough took the advantage in the integral first round, Nantwich last night, but everyone else chose.
I just thought it was really interesting, and I'd be curious to know Dave Cook's thinking. Look, he's got 3 points. They've moved up the table. They've extended their winning run. Happy days. It's proved to be the right decision.
The fact they've got a goal forward scoring at the moment. So yeah. Malkin and Connor Hughes both flying up the goal scorers charts at this moment in time. Malkin's joined top now, I believe, after last night's games.
They've won 5 out of 6 games at home. The game that they lost at home was against Warrington, so no shame in that whatsoever. But away from home, they've lost 2 out of 3. Well, Gibbo, I assume you were there for the...
I wasn't at the number.
Oh, well, you
ruined it. Who invited Gibbo?
I could have pretended I was. Obviously.
Yeah, sorry.
With Nantwich, they've got the FA Cup game, but you look forward in the league as well. Ultimately, that's what it's about. Nantwich are there to get promoted this season. They've got a really interesting month coming up in the middle. They've got 2 games on the trot between South Shields at home and then they go to Basford. It's going to be... a couple of humdingers, that.
Speaking of Basford, Basford found themselves in 5th.
Thank me later, Ben.
1-0 draw with Scarborough Athletic, though. I might as well stay with you, the media officer at Scarborough, Burke.
Well, I was speaking to the actual media officer before. Well, not technically media, but he does the other things. And good old Ant.
Yeah.
And he hang on, I've got a quote here.
You've got a quote?
Yes.
He has to be quoted, or is this...
He said, it's like Tony Hart's gallery. There's lots of drawing at the moment at the Flamingo Land Stadium.
Scarborough then, obviously lots of draws, but Basford?
Basford, well, kind of the same as last year, aren't they, Ben? You know, they're great at home, but very, very patchy. Like, I don't know what it's about. Did they adjust their style too much? But they've got Nat Watson, he's starting to score goals, he's got 5 in the last 5. But you do have to wonder if they're adjusting or over-adjusting a little bit too much on their travels, because you'd expect that home farm to be just as good away, really, if they're that good a team.
Still, 5th.
And the only team that have beaten them in their last 6 Premier Division games is South Shields, who have beaten everybody. So,
apart from mine.
Tell you what, though, 17 points. Who else is on 17 points? Michelover Sports. Mm.
I did see them play Coles, though, which is a rare occurrence.
Tell us about Michelover.
I was really impressed with Michelover.
Why are they so good?
They got a lot of experienced players in that team. And Lee Hughes was starting up front. I don't want to do him a disservice. I think he's 43, is he now?
He is 43.
And the touch on him is, honestly...
He scored last night, didn't he?
He did.
Like, I could not believe how good he still is. We had a 19-year-old defending him and he just couldn't get anywhere near him. And this 19-year-old has just won our Player of the Month as well. Outstanding, is it? Bevan as well, that they think they signed him the day before the Coles game. And those two up front were frightening, and at the back as well, the big, the strong. Really good setup, Michelover. Very direct, but still good to watch.
They do the right job, don't they? I mean, one of the younger players. Oh, sorry.
We're at 10 games now.
Can it last? Yeah.
I actually think
they're in with an half-decent shout at the playoffs here. I'm not even joking. We know all about their experience. You know, they've got Pablo Mills, he's 35, Greg Young, he's even older. But whereas last season they had a bunch of kids and a load of OAPs, this season they've kind of filled the gaps in a bit. You've got Darrell Berry there, you've got Nathan Modest, and they've got a young goalkeeper, Nathan Broom. England under-17 keeper on loan from Stoke. And from what I hear, he's absolutely mustard. That's what they've done it again. Young kids, really old fellas, but they've got the mix right in the middle as well this time.
Hyde United found themselves in 7th after that defeat to Michelover on Tuesday night, Berkey.
Sorry, mate, just chewing something.
James?
again, Liam Tong, what a player he is this season.
Brilliant.
Again, I get the highlights from Yola from Hyde every other week, and every... A good highlight is coming from him at this moment in time. They're moving well going forward.
Yeah, Liam Tong's having a goal of the season competition all on his own, pretty much. The one that he got at the weekend against Ashton was absolutely ridiculous. But
so good
the
it
form's,
broke Twitter this morning.
Well, yeah, the form's a bit of a concern at the minute. Hyde have only won 1 out of the last 6 games. Ewan Fields, We looked fantastic going forward. We scored more goals than any other team in the division, but 16 of those 19 goals come at Ewan Fields. We can't score away, apart from at Broadhurst Park, obviously.
Let's talk about Grantham, Swamper. Obviously, we've seen Grantham. Not been too bad a start, in all fairness.
No, listen, when we played Grantham at the beginning of the season, I mean, even though FC should have won that game, really, before Grantham got back into it, we did say at the time that they're going to be very hard to beat at home. Ashton went there last night and completely poo-pooed that, but equally they have done tremendously well. They're doing it the right way. They've got a good squad, they're hard to beat, they're very difficult to beat at home apart from last night, as we saw, so it's a massive result.
You can't accuse them of being boring, though.
No, I mean, there seems to be a bit of a frailty, though, because Whitby tonked them there as well.
Yeah,
that's 2-4-0 home defeats that they've had this season.
They were saying that all last season, though. 4-0.
Right, before they got beaten 4-0 by Ashton last night, they won the game on Saturday 4-0.
Mid-table team, simple as that.
Warrington found themselves in mid-table land at the moment. They're currently ninth.
Would you stop mid-table? They play nine games. If they win the game in hand, they're in third.
Right. All the listeners are aware, and Gibbo's a long-time listener of the show. He's aware that our September show, we are literally just making stuff up. Anyway, Warrington find themselves in ninth. It's obviously the FA Cup. We've got Paul Carden joining us shortly to talk about the FA Cup match. But what do you think?
I don't think they'll be worried or anything like that. It's been a little bit kind of higgledy-piggledy, hasn't it? That's partly because they've been switching between the FA Cup and the Premier Division. They have had some tough games, though, as well, to be fair. You know, normally a point at Scarborough, which they got in the last game, you'd come out to Scarborough joy with everybody, actually. So,
apparently so.
Like Tony Hart's gallery.
Apparently.
Yeah. I don't think there's any reason for concern. The only thing that might concern you, if you are Paul Cardenas, is they're already 10 points behind South Shields, and Warrington will have set out this season to be credible challengers for the title after falling short in the playoffs the past couple of years. They want to try and get promoted by winning the title.
I've got this memory going back when Warrington had a good FA Cup run. The league form did stutter, if I remember rightly, when they were in step four.
Well, they didn't really play any games.
Yeah.
They were too busy with the cup.
It was FA Cup, wasn't it? But I mean, if you go back to the FA Cup game that they beat FC United at Broadhurst Park, it was a highly contested game. They were probably the better team just about on the day, and then Tuesday, obviously, FC United have an opportunity to go there. No one expected them to do anything. FC put a great performance in, and Carden himself and his management team said the best team were there on the night, and they went there and they won.
Tough month coming up for Warrington, though, isn't it, Ben? They've got Matlock and Whitby away. I think it's going to be not quite make or break, but it's going to give us a quite good barometer of where they stand.
Barometer is a great word, isn't it? Let's talk about Warrington's upcoming game.
It's as if you two have actually been phoned up. I'll say this, you say that, you do this.
Just
that.
Broadcasters.
I'll sign you up, mate.
It's like a anyway.
lovely stuff.
Before that, Brackley for Warrington Town, a tough test this weekend in the third qualifying round of the FA Cup. And on Thursday, I caught up with the manager at Warrington Town. Here's Paul Carden. So, Paul, a big thank you for joining us. Before we get to this weekend's big hit, a big congratulations. He says through gritted teeth for your result in the second qualifying round against FC United. How was that game?
Yeah, it was obviously great. Great to get the win, to get through and progress against a good side. And, you know, it was a good game. It was end-to-end. It was open. And for the neutral, it would have been a very enjoyable one to watch. We had our moments. They had theirs. You know, unfortunately, we took ours, or we took more of ours, and were more resolute. So, obviously, it was a welcome result, especially to progress in the cup.
Yes, absolutely. Because of your progression into the cup, I mean, we saw that in the lead up with the Integro League Cup matches being moved. That's happened with the midweek league fixtures. How useful has that little break been?
Yeah. Obviously, that's welcome. You know, it's good that the league do that. It's good that they recognise the importance of the cup competitions in terms of the FA Cup and the sort of prize money that it can bring. And also, you know, I think from a league point of view, the preparation that it allows obviously highlight the or increase the profile of the league, especially if you're to progress against teams from higher divisions. So it's all welcome. It gives chance for lads to recover. It gives us chance to get lads back with more training, and you know, obviously it gives us chance to work on things leading up to the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And one player in particular I'd just like to highlight, because I did the match report for that FA Cup game against FC United, is Tony Gray. I mean, he's been phenomenal, hasn't he, this start to this season?
Yeah, well, Tony, you know, what you see one week is more often than not what you see the next week with Tony. He's been there, seen it, and done it many times, and he's really important to us. We've probably played them more than we wanted to, just because we know, you know, we don't want to flog him to the point where he breaks. But because we've had injuries to Josh Amos, Matty Chadwick, and the likes, we've probably had to play him more minutes than ideal. But you know, his touch, his awareness, his quality, his brain on the pitch is you know, it's second to none. And the type of player he is, he makes things happen. He links the play in the top end of the pitch, and you know, he's always a threat.
I mean, he's a couple of years younger than me, and I don't know how he does it, to be honest. He's been playing lone striker, hasn't he, a lot of the time?
Yeah, well,
I mean, I don't know how he does it.
There isn't anything on him. And because, you know, Tony will be the first to say, because he's never had what you call blistering pace, you know, the only thing that he's had to change in his game is how he looks after himself recovery-wise. You know, because he's always been one to drop in. He's always been a clever type of forward. You know, going back, even if you went back 10, 15 years, he was always that type of forward. So from that point of view, the advancing years haven't affected them as they would with players who had pace years ago and have had to adapt the game a lot. So, you know, from that point of view, it's he looks after himself, and he's good. He's a good lad to have around the place, more than just for his ability.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it is the FA Cup this weekend. Like we touched upon with the midweek break you've had, you've dropped down the table slightly. You probably don't even look at the table. I mean, you're in ninth, but one win, you're up to third. So it's ridiculous to talk about the league table at this stage of the season. But with the FA Cup, with the league, everything going to plan so far, do you think, apart from the odd injury here or there?
You know, every time I seem to speak to you, we've had obviously a bit of bad news this week with Jack Dunn. He's featured for 15 minutes in the FA Cup. That's all we've had this season out of him. And he's going to be out for 3 months with his medial. He's done a high grade 2 medial ligament injury in his knee, and we had the scan results back a couple of days ago. So, you know, at first we feared it was his cruciate, but you know, we're fortunate in the fact that it's just his medial. You know, so that's a positive. We just got to get him the right rehab and get him back strong. You know, he is a big blow to us for how we play. But I think, in general, I don't think we've quite clicked yet. I don't think we're playing as free-flowing as I would like. You know, at times we're showing it, but not over 90 minutes or even 60 minutes. You know, we've been playing in halves, and we need to increase that. But I think that, you know, 3 or 4 new faces in the side is, you know, I always say to the players, play to your strengths and each other's strengths. That's why you're here. And I think it's about the lads finding out, you know, other players' strengths in games and how the new players fit into the way we do things on the pitch. So, you know, it's not clicked yet. I know it will, because there's too much quality there. And if we can have a week where we can pick the same 11, that'd be nice as well. So you know, there's work to be done. It's not perfect, but, you know, it's going in the right direction.
And hopefully that direction will continue this weekend. Brackley Town away, very tough draw in all fairness. I mean, technically the draw is still regionalised at this stage of the season, but there you go, Brackley Town. Have you been in touch with Neil Young at all? Because I think Marine beat them, didn't they, in the FA Trophy last year?
Yeah, they did. To be honest, I've spoke to managers who played them more recently. I've got a couple of reports. We had them watch last weekend in a game which was probably the wrong type of game to judge them on, although we could still see things that they do, because they scored off a few set pieces and that type of thing. So we obviously, we seen that threat, and that's been highlighted. You know, I know quite a number of the players. I know the manager has been there for a number of years, as has the bulk of the squad. So we know they're well-knitted. They've had good success in recent years in the Cups, and they've obviously been unlucky a couple of times in the playoffs as well. So we know it's going to be a test, but having said that, you know, we've had good success ourselves playing against teams from higher divisions over the last few years in the Cup. So, you know, we don't fear it. You know, we don't underestimate them, but we certainly don't underestimate ourselves as well. And like you say, you know, you never know. It could be the game where it clicks for us. Hopefully it will. But we'll be well prepped for them.
Paul Carden, manager of Warrington Town, and welcome back to part two of the Northern Premier League word. Show.
In fairness.
Yes.
No, seriously.
Brackley,
he's a good manager.
I mean, we aren't going to come to the FA Cup in the third part of the show, but Marine beat Brackley, didn't they, at Brackley last season? So it is possible.
Of course, but they're having a good season, Brackley, as well. And they're always
they're
difficult.
They're having a good season. Last year when Marine beat them.
Was that last season or the year before?
I'm sure it was last season.
It might have been last season.
I think it was in the FA Trophy.
Listen, Warrington will back themselves to beat anybody, but it's, you know, what are they like? Brackley like fourth or fifth in the league? It's like one of the hardest draws they could have got.
There's a small club, the lovely cricket club opposite, and they've got good investment. They were very lucky last season not to go any further than they did. They've nearly won big trophies as well.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a tough, tough game for Warrington, but Warrington have a pedigree in the FA Cup.
Like I said, we will be returning to the FA Cup in the third part of the show, and we have got Jody Bannon from Manchester United coming on shortly as well to talk about the FA Cup. But let's talk about the lower half of the table. A bit unfair to start with Lancaster because they're technically in the top half, but yeah, it's just the way it's fallen for them, unfortunately. But Lancaster's been...
It's been all right. I seen them last night, and they won pretty comfortably against Witten. To be fair, and it's like we said last month, and when you spoke to Martfell, they are carrying on something that did start last season. And a big shout out to Dave Norris, absolutely doing the business in his late 30s. Played up front on his own last night, and he was an example to everybody on the field with his attitude, work rate, a little bit of class as well. What a player! They're going along just nicely. They'll be really pleased.
James Stalybridge
started to slip up from the start of the season, but they've a couple of signs made. So Darius Olsi coming back, instant impact there. Mantak
getting Darius back. That is such a coup for him, because I saw him actually score his first goal for the club a few years ago. It's when Stalybridge beat Hyde 7-1 on New Year's Day. It was an absolutely dreadful match. But they've got Chris Smalley back to show things up at the back. But they've kind of revived something that we've not seen in the league, really, apart from with Coulson and Walshaw. It's a partnership.
Hobson plays well.
They tend to have a good shape now. Don't give the ball away that often. And work as a unit, which is always very, very important. And obviously, FC go there on Saturday, which will be a tough test.
Gibbo, FC United.
Where do we start with? Why have you picked me for this question?
Because we've spent a couple of lovely afternoons and evenings together in recent times. I just wanted your... it's too easy to go to this guy. I thought, you know, Gibbo's not spoken in a couple of minutes.
I don't think they're that much better than Atherton Colliery is. You look on paper, Reynolds has brought in the best players on paper from the West Division last season. It was unfortunate the fact Almond has gone out injured for the season, because he was a cracking player last year. You could always rely on him to come in with goals. Brought in some lads from Bamber Bridge, and they've all started to gel. In the beginning of the season, people were questioning whether they would gel, and they're beginning to now. I would expect the likes of FC United and Coles to finish in a similar place in the league, because in the games that I've seen FC and Coles play against each other, I don't think there's anything between the two teams at the moment. And you know, I think FC are probably in the right position at the moment in the league.
Some of the other Alavi playing in his position, he wants to play as well.
He's so such a great
player.
Well,
that was a bit controversial for FC United fans. They were going, "We brought him as a number 9. Why are you playing him on the wings?" But against Warrington, it just seems to.
So I mean, you put him into a one-on-one position, you're not going to stop him.
FC United, it'll be interesting. They'll be okay. That's it.
Witten Albion, will you be interesting and will you be okay?
They'll be fine. They'll be fine. They've had a pretty wretched week because they got knocked out of the FA Cup by Belpre after extra time, then lost back-to-back home games against Staley Bridge and Lancaster, which are teams that really Witten, you know, they're much of a much Witten with wanting to beat them at home. So it's been a poor week.
You'd expect to draw 0-0 with them, really.
That's pretty much expectation every game. I don't. It's undone a little bit of the good work that started the season. I think that losing after a replay after getting Belpre back to Wincham Park has hit them more than I thought it would. So they need to kind of shake that pretty quickly. But in answer to your question, no, they'll be absolutely fine. I expect them to bring in one or two players because they've got about 12 at the moment and that's unsustainable. So providing they do that, they'll be fine.
Sorry to rub it in, but we're here for Grant Black at Belpre Town on the Step 4 show this week.
Well, he's been there. He's done it in the FA Cup before. Fair play to him.
Let's talk about Morpeth Town.
Let's.
What do you think?
Morpeth have, obviously, they've got a number of games that they haven't played.
Trying to rise this board, method.
I think from Morpeth Town perspective, we have to actually wait until the next month, in fairness, because they're lacking in games, they're playing FA Cup games have been abandoned, and therefore we have to wait until perhaps maybe late October, early November, in order to know where they're going to be. I think they're going to be a successful club this season.
We've got Jody Bannon coming on shortly. What about Ashton United? I mean, well, they've had a very sticky start to the season.
Hang on. Despite the start that they've had, they're actually on a pretty decent run. They've only lost once in the last eight games. They've had a ludicrous injury. I mean, it's ridiculous. They had one player who was fit on the bench against Hyde on Saturday, and that was the sub-goalkeeper. It was just absolutely bizarre. It's so bizarre that Jody Banning, the rumour was that he was going to register as a player, get his boots back on again.
He'd still do a job, I think.
The show that we're doing in 2 months' time, Ashley United will be top half of the table, going absolutely fine. They've got a good team.
The big problem that they had was they couldn't score goals. So again, watching them at the Whitby game, every shot there was either going. They would, well, put it this way, Ben, they would look more in place on your other podcast that you do, again, the Whitby Town game. And in fairness,
which podcast is talking about the ice hockey one or the rugby league?
But
he better not be talking about FC United.
The thing is, now they found the scoring boots, and look at the last two games there.
Gainsborough Trinity.
Well, they're starting to. Well, same with Ashton. They're kind of starting to score goals. Gavin Allerty got his first goal since the opening day of the season last night against Bamberidge. They scored six in two games, but before that they didn't score at all in three matches. So maybe they've not quite.
I feel we started to see the turn we said a couple of weeks ago when the teams we expected to be at the top start picking up form, and that's a big worry for four new teams we're going to start talking about in a minute anyway.
Is it a worry? I couldn't care less.
Gibbo, you can come again.
I'm not confident that Gainsborough are a coherent unit yet.
Not yet.
They've got potential. They'll get there. I'm sure they'll finish top half.
I mean, it's
taken a while, isn't it?
They've lost every game on the road. Need to sort it out.
And in fairness, they're playing baseball on Saturday as well. So.
Away.
Yes.
Averton Coles. You enjoying it now?
Not just yet. When we got promoted from the North West Counties Premier into Division 1 West, we were languishing towards the bottom all the way up until Christmas. We were chopping and changing with players. And then, as it went on, we went on a really good run of form, which put us, I think we finished about 10th in the end. Yeah. We did really well. I think we lost twice from Christmas, the end of the season. And we're in that transitional period again. 2 years ago, we got absolutely hammered at Hyde. That was a lesson learned. That was welcome to this league. You know, we've had a couple of drubbings left. Warrington really taught us a lesson when they came to us a few weeks ago. And we've let a couple of lads go this week. We're bringing a couple more in. We're going to town on analysis. We know which players we need. We brought in Brewster from Droylsden this week. And to the point now, we're beginning to think, you know what, we're going to start surprising some teams. And I think, you know, the eight games we've played in the league so far, hand on heart, I don't think we've gone to these games thinking, you know, we're going to win today, which is how Coles has been for the last few years, but I think we're settling again now.
One question I've been saying all season about the teams that have just come up as well, would you accept 19th this year?
Of course I would. To be even in this division is a dream. Like, stay up, that's all we want. But I know we can do better than that, and I think we will. We just need to settle a bit more first. We're starting with South Shields on Saturday.
Ba ba la ba ba. Are Scarborough going to be happy with 19th, though, Burke?
I wouldn't have thought so, but as we mentioned earlier on, they've drawn far too many games, drawn all five at home, but it is
good draw against Basford, though.
They should be beating them, that's how they think. I've got a wonderful stat for you. In the last six games, four of them, they've been in front and failed to win it. They've thrown away a lead, which Scarborough a year ago would never have done.
They've got a transitional season this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really
believe they have a transitional season. I don't think it's a season where they're going to go up or down, and I think they'll be looking this season as the highs and lows of last year have gone, and therefore move on, go through it, and then we'll start again next year. I think
there's a silver lining there, though. James Walshaw's he started to score. He scored five in the last six games.
What about Bamber Bridge? Anyone?
They've lost six out of seven away.
They're going to struggle massively.
Badly as well.
Yeah, of course.
I think it's a football club this season. I'm going to find it very, very difficult. They're going to be in a relegation battle for most of the season. I know they played very well against FC, and I think primarily because it obviously
is it Michael Fowler they've got up front for them.
Very
good.
He is good, and I think the game against FC was a game to try and prove we can compete with you. And they played very well, and FC hung on for 20 minutes.
I think they will have gone into the season knowing that, though.
I think you're right.
How many minutes were they saved by at the end of last season?
Literally 15-20 minutes.
So they will have known, and we talked in the pre-season, didn't we? They've not been signed many players.
A lot of it is trying to get away from just we are out. It's all on Ali Waddick. They're trying to build a team that can stabilise around. Because again, if you look at last year when he was injured, he had that horrendous run about October, November when he was out injured.
It's difficult,
if they
finish
where they are now, they'll be delighted.
Oh, they will, yeah.
Gibbo, you saw Bamber Bridge at the start of September.
Yes, I went to watch Coles there, and we started well. We had a man sent off after 20. I think we've had five red cards this year, which has been thrilling to watch. one lad twice, so...
What, same game?
Two games, two red cards. It's just like he came back. I'll just get sent off again.
That's why you got one fair play, mate.
Bamber Bridge played really well against us, to be fair. We didn't deserve anything out of the game. They were very quick at switching it from side to side. Like, it was a bit like the Bamber Bridge that you used to see the year they got promoted. And that, you know, they're playing like the Bamber Bridge way. And, you know, that might. I've not seen Bamber Bridge's other results this season, but that might be their high point of the season so far.
Radcliffe.
We don't like playing football, do we?
Well, it's boring football, isn't it? Yeah. I mean,
well, in fairness, I've said it, and I said it last week, Gibble, the same thing. We finished 19th this year, it'll be a success. Starting to gel from not having Tundin in the team this year, sending goal scorers. Discipline, still a bit of a problem, but not as bad as it was, has been recently. The win at Staley Bridge would have done us favours, but the result against the 4-0 thrashing at Grantham.
And that was a bit welcome to the Premier Division, wasn't it?
I think that was our big moment saying, but up to that point we were doing fine, but now it's more get used to it.
Obviously, I've seen Radcliffe for years. I saw him loads last year when they're competing with Coles at the top of that division. There just seems to be something missing, and there seems to be a lot of. I know Macken and Sinclair are very vocal from the touchline, but there seems to be like this expectancy, and it seems to be creeping on the pitch. There's a lot of pressure on the players at Radcliffe at the moment.
I think a lot of it's from last season thinking, oh, we're actually doing something this year for once, and I think that mentality is still there with the fan base. Not as much as it was last year, but
Stafford Rangers, great result against Kidderminster.
Great result against Morpeth as well.
It was a good result against Morpeth.
Yeah. Have they hit it all of a sudden?
I was going to say, Andy Fern's interview, I mean, the most positive man, considering they've still not won a league game. It was remarkable.
Well, you say they've still not won a league game, but they've only lost one of the last six games. They still need strikers. No question about that at all.
Defence is pretty good.
That's the thing. They've conceded one goal. They've conceded one goal in the last six games.
One goal in September.
It's like,
And they've just beaten Kidderminster.
They're unbeaten since the last podcast. They beat them 3-0, Ben.
Brilliant.
It's ridiculous, the team from a division above. However, they where can't Stafford, win in the league.
The only way is up, surely, for Stafford. They've shown enough quality.
The foundations are there. And they just need someone up top.
And finally, Buxton.
Yeah.
I mean...
Oh. All right, so surprised that they're there. Yeah. But they're the first team to blink, and I think they kind of had to be in that they've brought in a few new players. Aaron Chalmers, Kyle Harrison, they brought him in from FC United.
Interviewed Paul Phillips last week. Well, Buxton this weekend, I've got York City in the FA Cup.
Yorkshire City.
Buxton is, Liam Hardy's starting to score now.
Yes, he is.
And that's correct. A big, big plus they've got. And that, obviously, he's on form. We know it.
Sorry, did someone just say the FA Cup?
Yes,
the preview is coming up in a second for the third qualifying round. But before that, Ashton United will be taking on Spennymoor Town on Saturday in the third qualifying round. And on Thursday, I caught up with the manager at Ashton United. Here's Jodie Bannum. Well, Jodie, a big thank you for joining us. We'll get to the FA Cup in a second or two, but just a congratulations for that 4-0 win at Grantham. There's not going to be many teams that go to the South Stevens Stadium and firstly win, but to score four, that's pretty sensational.
Yeah, it was. It'd been coming for a few weeks. We've been playing. I think we've been playing really well. We've just not been getting the results that we've perhaps deserved on the balance of play. And I think if you listen to a lot of the managers that we've played against post match, they've all been quite complimentary of us and the way we play and the amount of chances that we're creating. But we've just not been able to finish them. And on Tuesday we scored early, and then all importantly we got that second goal early as well, which kind of settled us down and. It made them have to come out a little bit more and left more spaces for us to exploit as well. So but it was a perfect performance, you know, clean sheet, four goals. I think we limited their kind of threats to minimal as well. So I think that two set pieces where they had a couple of opportunities, but apart from that, I don't think they created much of note. So we did well defensively as well. Lloyd coming in for his debut did well. So really, really pleasing. I think that's one defeat in eight, and the one defeat with the Whitby game, which if anybody was there would have argued that we didn't deserve to lose on the night, but these things happen.
And with that win and with the 3-0 draw with Hyde at the weekend as well, you started to move up the table. I mean, you weren't the only big fish that was down the bottom end of the table in this early gambit of the season. There's still a lot of sizeable names down there. How difficult has the start been? I know you've gone through a bit of an injury crisis as well.
Yeah, no, we can't blame injuries. I think it's only been very recent, really. We just didn't start well. We started off with the draw against Atherton on the opening day of the season, where we conceded two really poor goals when we were completely in control, and then we lost our next three games. Played well at South Shields, and then the next two against Stalybridge and Bamber Bridge just weren't good enough. So we made a few changes to the personnel. We brought in a couple of players and we let a couple go. And it seems to have galvanised us a little bit. We got a point against Matlock and we've kicked on from there, really. Like I said, we've only lost 1-8. So we seem to have turned the corner a little bit. I think we're looking like an half-decent side now, and I expect us to start climbing the table.
But you could park the league to one side for this week, and obviously that 1-0 win over Pontefract helping with that getting the season underway, really. But Spennymoor coming to town on Saturday, you obviously played them last season a couple of times. So what are you expecting from Spennymoor?
I don't know, in all honesty, because they've got such... they've got the injuries piling up. So I'm not too sure what team they're going to put out, if I'm honest. I think they already had four or five out before the game against Kidderminster on Saturday, and they've picked up another three or four injuries. So it depends whether... I think Curtis, the centre-back's got a big gash on his head. It depends whether he plays. Chandler was limping about the centre midfielder. So it's difficult to know what team to expect from them, really. If they had everybody fit, they're a 4-2-3-1, very, very organised. Wing play, very good. Taylor up front is probably the best striker in the league. So, you know, on their day, they're capable of beating anybody within non-league, I think. And we'd have to be at our maximum, you know, to make sure we're in the hat for the next round. So I'm under no illusions, no matter what team we play against, you know, it's going to be a tough tie.
But that said, obviously, like we touched upon here, you've had to make some signings, bring some players in. They obviously hit the ground running and did so well against Grantham. You must be looking for an even bigger spring in their step on Saturday.
Yeah, well, John Lafoudou can't play. He came to our attention in the FA Cup. So, over the two games we played against Tadcaster,
John was outstanding. He played right back, and we just couldn't get any change out of him at all. We stuck the 7 days in straight away, and we kept an eye on him for the next couple of games as well. So, and he did ever so well in those two games as well. The reports we got back, so we moved on him and we brought him in, but unfortunately he's cup tied. Lloyd Allenson will play. Obviously Lloyd came in on Tuesday night, got his clean sheet, which he'll be happy with, all keep as well, and he'll be pushing for Saturday as well. And then Jordan Slew come in and got his goal. So the two guys, obviously, you know, two out of the three that have come in, and one's got a clean sheet, one's got a goal, and I think they'll be full of confidence going into Saturday now.
Yeah, you can't argue with that, really, can you? And I was going to mention as well, obviously some managers had the option to postpone Tuesday night's games. You decided not to. You're basically just delaying the inevitable. You've got to play that fixture at some point in time. And after this FA Cup match, you've got a County Cup game. Then you've got Lancaster away. I suppose the other side of it is you want to get these games out of the way as quickly as possible and get that momentum going, I suppose.
Yeah, they pile up, don't they? You know, you see in the last couple of years that, you know, you get a bad winter. You know, look at Stalybridge. I think they were playing three or four games a week a couple of years ago. So, yeah, you don't want to get in. You certainly don't want to get in that scenario. And if you can get your games played, and obviously we get the 3 points, brilliant. But yeah, I think sometimes it's beneficial to get them done early doors, so you're not piling them up at the end of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. And just before you go, Jody, just a quick mention, obviously, for the home support. They're going to be vitally important on Saturday in this one.
Yeah, hopefully that. They deserve a good cup run. You know, since I've been at the club, and I don't think the club's had too many good cup runs in the last 10-15 years. I think it'd be good for the football club. I think it'd be good for the supporters if we can. You know, that first round's got to be our target. You know, we're two wins away from it. So anything can happen, really. So hopefully we can give them something to cheer about. They're a hardy bunch that follow us home and away. So fingers crossed.
You know, I fully agree with what JB said there.
Thank you, Birkin.
You're all right.
Jody will be pleased, I'm sure.
I should hope so, because
welcome back, we should say, to the MPL show. This is part three. And Gibbo, thank you for joining us on the eve of your birthday.
It's all right.
And if it carries on, we'll be celebrating the birthday. <weekend. laughs> There's only a few more hours left.
Listeners, we've been here for an hour and a half, that's it.
I know, but
I was only contracted to 20 minutes. That's what I was promised.
I'm going to do a special edit for him, which is just Gibbo's bits. Welcome back anyway to the Heating Hops. Simo's here, Berkey's here, Gibbo's here, Swampy's here, Teagot's here, and it's now time to talk about the FA Cup. Ashton against Spennymoor, what's going to happen? I'll come to our Tameside correspondent first. Berkey.
Oh, does what I said a minute ago not count? Do I have to do it?
Say it again, though.
No. Ashton, they kind of limped past Taddy. They got there after a replay. They beat Ponticalls by a goal to nil. Weren't very convincing, but they're getting there now in the league, and I just think the team's clicking again. Spennymoor, though, they had a slow start in the National League North, but they've also clicked into gear. They beat Lancaster 5-0 in the previous round. They're unbeaten in five games in the league.
It's away,
it
though.
It should be a Spennymoor. I know, but
I would agree.
It's going to be close. It's going to be a close game. This. I wouldn't be too surprised if it goes for a replay.
Did you beat Spennymoor?
Yeah. Can I take credit for Spennymoor's win in the last round?
Of course you can.
You said, "Oh, going to Lancaster, that's a tough tie," and I said, "Because Witten had knocked them out the year before." Jason Ainsley went absolutely nuclear because Spennymoor come down and thought they were going to stroll to victory. Got the wrist slapped, so I said there was no chance that he was going to make the same mistake this year, and they come down.
That's
and
why I always invite you on for the FA Cup previews.
Believe it or not, they're actually playing on similar surfaces to that they're used to playing on.
Yeah. Belper Town against Rochelle Olympic.
What a game! They're unbeaten this season.
Yeah.
In 11 games.
They're unbeaten since March.
And Rochelle, mind you, Rochelle are at the top of South Midlands.
But we know that our step four is better than their step three.
That's what would. Rochelle did beat Gainsborough 2-0 in the last round.
Yeah. I was going to say, do you think Belper's got a chance?
Yeah, absolutely.
Brackley Town against Warrington Town. Can Warrington do this?
Yes, they can, but it's a real big ask.
Brackley had a decent warm-up. I mean, they beat Bradford Park Avenue 8-0 the other day. Fourth qualifying round last season. Lost on a replay against Halifax. Thank you, Teagot.
Yeah, they did,
I do think it's a very tall order.
Buxton against York City.
Buxton are improving, and as T got mentioned earlier, Liam Hardy started scoring the goals, but York.
It's at Buxton as well, so.
You know, they beat Kings Lynn, who were in second place in the National League North by 3-0.
It's the toughest game they could have had.
Yeah, absolutely.
York, I went to uni in York. They went on a dreadful run when I moved up there. They were caught. Their fans were saying I was bad luck. Moved back home, and it's like it's the best season they've ever had now.
So it's true.
They're unbeaten this season, aren't they, York?
They had a point.
Watson's got a load of players sorted there, and I can't see anything other than it. York absolutely walloping them.
Bucks at the bottom of the league have absolutely nothing to prove. They could go and then to that game and absolutely do something that no one expects.
Yeah. Should be a York winner.
Their record in the FA Cup this year, played 2-1-2, scored 9, not conceded a goal yet.
Correct. York.
Buxton.
No, Buxton.
Buxton. No, Buxton, yeah. Buxton,
there you go.
And you're right, Berkey.
Romulus and Carby.
I mean, we all know York should win the game. There's no question about it. However,
say it, Swampert. Go on, say it. Go on, say
it's the Paul Daniels of the FA Cup.
That's right.
Without the Debbie McGee.
Dunstan against Colm.
That's why Colm all doing South Shields in the last round. Dunstan starting to pick up form in the Northwest Division.
Colm against South Shields.
What a chance for one of these to get to the fourth qualifying round, dude. To draw two-step four teams to draw each other, they'd have been absolutely ecstatic if you'd offered them that before the start of the season. Mm-hmm. They won't get a better chance to meet to get to the next stage.
One thing is, they've both kind of struggled on the way through. All right, fair enough. Colm, they played South Shields twice. Absolutely phenomenal result to get past them.
Nailing them twice.
Still probably one of the results the FA Cup
exactly,
so far.
Absolutely. But this will be, on Saturday, it'll be the 14th game between them that they've played in the FA Cup this season, which is absolutely
bonkers.
Dunstan
got to this round last year, didn't they, as well?
They did, yeah.
Who knocked them out?
Well, they beat Chester last season 4-3 in the third qualifying round. I forget who knocked them out off the top of my head.
A big good luck to both Dunstan and Colm. We hope you both win. When it comes to Kidsgrove Athletic against Gateshead, we've got Ryan Austin coming on the Step 4 show.
Yeah, Gateshead will win that
game. Whoa! What a good FA Cup team Kidsgrove are, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
They are the definition of an FA Cup team, Kidsgrove. The last
3-4 years.
Yeah. They get to the fourth qualifying round really regular.
So good.
It worked out this afternoon because I had a bit of time that they've won nearly $55,000 in prize money alone from the last two seasons.
Yeah.
Is
they just got knocked out in the fourth qualifying round by Hartlepool last season. Very narrow 1-0 defeat.
It's at home.
They beat Matlock the last round. They beat Cleethorpes, beat the local rivals.
Newcastle.
Yeah. Gateshead, they should be a different matter. I mean, they've only lost twice all season against Farsley, funnily enough, and Hereford beat Ramy 6-0 in the last round. Very tall order this. Gates have only won 1 out of 5 away from home this season.
Yeah, that's true.
Sticking with the Staffordshire theme, League Town against Kings Lynn Town.
Come on, League.
I think this is a great tie, this.
At this stage of the season, they've had a nice clean run at it because they've been away in the previous three rounds.
Against lower ranked teams, though.
Yeah, Boston Town, Whitchurch, Alport and AFC, but Wolfrunians.
Ooh.
I'll have you know.
I think Berkey's right. I mean, from a league perspective, I mean, league play attractive, good football. They're doing really well in the division.
I love watching them.
Are they finally going to do it this year? I would sincerely hope so, because they have promised. I think personally they have a great opportunity. But Kings Lynn are doing well at this moment in time. It's a long journey for them. Again, it all depends whether a team travels the night before, because that's a long, long journey. And we've seen
no train station either.
Yeah,
is there not?
No, not in league. No, it's one of those like Lee. It's one of the biggest towns without its own train station.
Lee is the biggest town without its own
train station. Where's the nearest train station?
It's Atherton.
It is indeed.
Nantwich Town against Morpeth Town.
Again, talking about barometers, great one for both sides. Did
we have a cliche collection there? What was that?
I think we did.
Ben, you've got 10 minutes.
Well, we talked about Dabba's own form tonight, haven't we? So that makes them favourites.
Absolutely, and were you there, Simo?
Stourbridge against Stafford Rangers.
Nil-nil, isn't it?
Stourbridge are a good FA Cup team.
That's
under
true.
Gary Hackett.
Oh yeah,
but they've got Ian Long in charge now, formerly of Alvechurch.
Who got knocked out in the last round.
Ben's done some research, that's why he's saying it now. Like,
I say Alvechurch made the playoffs last year.
No, I know this because...
Because Andy Fern told you.
Andy Fern told me all this, yes. Yes, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
I was looking at Simo going, did we discuss Stourbridge, Simo?
Simo, don't even make sense. That's what I was trying to throw in there.
That be Alvechurch.
Two more fixtures to talk about. Sutton Coldfield, Neil Tooth will be on the Step 4 show. They've got Boston United.
Come on!
Again, last month we said they couldn't beat Kettering.
But they did.
And it ended up being the Heathens' last match there, so who knows this time.
So Craig Elliott be very afraid.
Oh, yes.
Boston did see off Stamford, though, didn't they, in the last round? So.
They did. Good news, Gibbo. You're going to celebrate your birthday with your family.
What a shame.
The last fixture, Whitby Town against Gloucester City.
That's on you, that Gibbo.
Me?
Yeah.
That's a hell of a trip, isn't it?
What's that?
Gloucester City to Whitby.
This was the talking point after the draw, isn't it? That they were both putting the, you know, was regionalised the draw, and they were both putting the northern section.
Gloucester were in them. I mean, they are in the actually.
No, and the quirk of this is that Gloucester were in the southern section for the second qualifying round draw, so work that one out.
I would like Whitby Town to win the game. I think. I hope Gloucester come there, enjoy themselves, but get windswept.
And a big good luck to everyone in FA Cup action this weekend. Just to mention, there are some league matches as well on Saturday. Bamber Bridge against Witten.
Basford, draw.
Basford against Gainsborough.
Draw.
Lancaster
home win.
Lancaster against Matlock.
Draw.
Away win.
Yeah. Mickleover against Scarborough.
Draw.
It's got to be
home win.
In for
Scarborough need it, but
this game ain't gonna happen. Radcliffe against Hyde.
It's called
yeah,
off.
Called off. South Shields against Atherton Colts.
Away win.
Yeah. And Celebrate Celtic against FC United.
It's been home win.
Called off.
Just to say, joking aside, do wrap up warm this weekend and do check Twitter and the league website before setting off.
The forecast is actually really good.
On that note, that is the end for this month's MPL show. We hope you've enjoyed it just as much as we've enjoyed recording it.
Isn't that much.
No, not really. But Simo, a big thank you for joining us.
No worries.
Non-league paper this weekend, where you have to?
Do you know what? I think I'm at Nantwich VM Open this weekend.
There we go. Burke, where you?
I'm staying on because it'll be called off between Radcliffe and Hyde, so... Yeah, well, thanks for having me. Cheers.
Thank you. 26-0, of course, for Coventry. Joking aside, on Saturday, Radcliffe against Hyde. Against Hyde. Gibbo, you're off to South Shields.
Yeah, if I remember it, I might be able to report back to you. But if you
didn't know... You've not got long. You've only got a couple of hours till kickoff. So, Swamper, thank you for joining us. You're off to Stalybridge this weekend for FC Radio. Looking forward to it.
Oh, no, I'm going back to Belgium. I can't be over this. Yes, I will be. I'll be FC versus Stalybridge Chelsea, if it's on the ski slope.
And James, you're off, obviously, to Hyde United against Radcliffe. But look out for the step
forward. Ben, where are you off?
I'm off in your car to Stalybridge. It's a big hill. I don't know if you know that.
It will be even, this Saturday.
Even from the train station. A big thank you to the Heating Hops for hosting this month's show, and a big thank you as well to Jodie Bannum and Paul Carden for joining us. And wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your MPL side, make sure you have fun. Bye-bye.